Reverse logistics network design. The reverse logistics network is a mirror image of the network developed for the forward supply chain, customer service, marketing in reverse, warehousing and transportation going in the opposite direction, unpackaging, disassembly, and remanufacturing or recycling, a return to raw materials. The products in the reverse chain won't necessarily move through the same nodes as products in the forward chain, because fewer and different warehouses may be required. The infrastructure and processes in reverse logistics networks therefore need a sound strategy and design to ensure efficiency, or reverse logistics could end up costing so much that profitability is at risk. Reverse logistics cannot afford to be an afterthought. As a relatively new concern, reverse logistics does not yet have the same level of support as forward logistics, but it isn't a small phenomenon. In some online businesses, returns can be as high as 50%. In addition, returns can include shipping containers, etc., as well as products. At one time, Estee Lauder was dumping about US $60 million worth of its products into landfills every year, more than one-third of the name-brand cosmetics returned by retailers. The overall cost of reverse logistics for an organization can be quite high. Strategic solutions are on the way, though. A reverse supply chain has information, cash, and product flows. Software for managing this process does exist, but isn't as well adopted as software for forward logistics applications. Reverse information flows and reverse logistics information systems. Legacy systems cannot effectively be used for tracking returns, so some investment may be required in new software. Many systems, even enterprise resources planning systems, have been designed to move product in only one direction and may not have reverse logistics functionality. An add-on or specialty tool may be needed. Organizations lacking reverse logistics information systems will need to acquire these to provide the required visibility. Such systems should be capable of managing return center operations, repair, remanufacture, and recycling centers, product recalls, vendor returns, and tracking, tracing, and compliance reporting. Information flows here require capturing data on product identifiers and linking them to the point of return. The reason for the return, for example, defective, unsatisfactory, incorrect order, unsold or excess inventory, repairs or refurbishment, remanufacture, or regulatory recycling or disposal, approvals, and warranty status. The status of each product also needs to be tracked from its entry into the reverse flow until its final disposition, along with the costs or revenues accumulated at each step. A bill of material for disassembly can be produced to help track the disposition of components. Unique product, and, in some cases, subcomponent identifiers are needed for this type of information to be tracked. The path that a returned item takes through the reverse supply chain may also require the management of new partners that handle tasks such as material recovery. Additionally, an organization may need to recover information on product failures that may indicate the need for a product redesign or a recall based on a failure rate that exceeds acceptable standards. Reverse cash flows. Cash flows in the reverse supply chain take the form of credits and discounts. This all needs to be done as simply as possible from the perspective of the customer, who is often not happy while these transactions are taking place, as well as placing the least possible burden on customer service. Product return policies should match strategy. The total cost of returns needs to be calculated in the aggregate by product line. At the retail level, this is an area for significant fraud, so policies and controls need to account for this. Reverse product flows. Product returns require reverse forecasting and establishment of locations for collecting, reprocessing, or disposing of the goods on their return trips. Reverse logistics locations and services design. The design of the reverse logistics network involves determining where in the process to locate the various reverse logistics activities. Returns happen at the retail level and back up the chain at distribution centers, manufacturers, suppliers, and so on. Determining where products will undergo, for example, testing or remanufacturing, requires a total cost of ownership analysis that may involve collaboration among many supply chain partners. The decision on the location or locations that make the most sense may involve weighing cost, customer service, and speed. The activities could be centralized at one location or distributed among retailers, distribution centers, or suppliers. Reverse logistics strategies may need to include preparing for specific events or types of reverse logistics services. New product introductions may have higher rates of returns, and the network may need to ensure that it has the capacity. Part of the network may be a requirement for a service department and/or an inventory of replacement parts. Receiving areas need to be designed to accommodate operations required in handling returns, such as repackaging and inspections. Packaging for returns needs to be considered along with packaging for forward shipping. For example, HP laser cartridges are delivered to consumers in a box with simple instructions for how to repackage the used cartridge in the same box and give it, free of charge, to any UPS driver or facility for shipping back to the manufacturer. This reverse network, complete with training for UPS, had to be in place and ready to receive cartridges when the first products were shipped to retailers. Another important consideration in the design of the reverse logistics network is whether none, parts, or all of the function will be contracted out to third-party logistics providers, 3PLS. At one end of the reverse logistics spectrum are organizations such as Frito-Lay, who remove expired inventory as part of the process of stocking new inventory at retail locations using their own drivers. In the middle of the range, transportation might be outsourced to small package services such as UPS or FedEx, while testing and refurbishment is retained as a distribution center responsibility. Many major companies have taken up the challenge of improving their management of the reverse flow of products, among them Dell, HP, Home Depot, Lenovo, and Google. At the other end of the spectrum, the entirety of the process could be outsourced, since at this point reverse logistics is unlikely to be a core business for many companies. 3PLS and 4PLS, fourth-party logistics providers, are adding reverse logistics to their portfolios. UPS, for instance, features its expertise on its website. 3PL organizations, such as Genco, ITC specialize in liquidating returns, which could result in some amount of revenue inflow to the organization, or at least lower revenue losses than the organization could achieve on its own. Genco ITC has been in the reverse logistics business since the 1980s and includes clients such as Walmart, Target, Levi's, Dell, and Kraft Heinz. It also sells reverse logistics software for the retail industry. Warehouse design for reverse logistics. Warehouses can be devoted specifically to reverse logistics, or those that are primarily designed for forward logistics could include reverse logistics capabilities. Dedicated reverse distribution centers, DCS, can specialize in sorting, repairs, disposition, and so on. DCS that feature forward and reverse flows need to be carefully designed to ensure that the processes do not interfere with each other. A poorly designed add-on of reverse logistics to a forward supply chain warehouse could result in materials handling traffic jams, poor warehouse space utilization, unsafe conditions for workers, or a risk that the returns and disposition process could be used to hide theft of new products. The processes need to be kept separate, but some resources, such as forklifts, might be shared to provide economies of scale if this does not itself create capacity issues for the forward supply chain.